Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Thanks so much for being with us. It's another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast, ready to take off for another great show. Walter Storholt with you this week, alongside Bree Reyes, investor coach and certified financial planner, part of the great team at Estes Financial Services, serving you throughout the Metroplex with an office in Fort Worth. Bree, what's going on this week? How are you?
Hey, Walt. I'm doing great. I had my first jury duty experience.
Oh, see, I've always wanted to do jury duty.
It was bizarre.
Okay. How much can you share with us?
I can share quite a bit because I don't know anything.
Okay.
I know. That's my favorite part. And this, I will have to warn everybody, spoiler alert, to the end of the story, I'm not finished.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
This may be a two-part conversation. Okay. But I got my first jury summons, and it was for County Criminal Court 1. Okay. And I filled out the online questionnaire, which is kind of fascinating.
Oh.
And then 2 days before court, I get an email that says, disregard that scary letter you got and come at a different time, specifically to this judge's court. Like, don't go in the early morning to the entire pool. We're going to do something different. Which, for a first-time jury duty person, I kind of was worried, like, oh, no, did I fill it out wrong?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Is this a bench warrant? Am I going to be arrested?
This is where we punish people who fill out the form wrong. Welcome.
Did I accidentally break the law? So I of course, talked to my mother-in-law, who is a retired judge, and she was like, no, this is just, sorry, not sorry, you've been sort of semi-selected, so good on you. And so on Thursday, I made my way to the Tim Curry Criminal Court building here in Fort Worth, Texas, and got to ride the bus and got to do all the fun stuff and check in and all that. And then apparently there were a bunch of us that were very freaked out about whether or not we had done the right thing, about 24 of us, if I counted correctly. And we get called into the judge's chambers, a wonderful judge here in Fort Worth, Texas, or at least he seemed very nice from the 20 minutes we were in there. And he explained that, how many of you are afraid this is going to be a really long trial? And I kind of slowly raised my hand up because I was a little worried about that. And he goes, nope, but we're not starting this thing until Monday. So how many of you have plane tickets out of the state for this weekend that you can physically show me? Because I have to talk to the attorneys. And we're not going to voir dire because one of them is sick. So everything's starting on Monday. And some of you will probably be released. The rest of you just assume that you are picked for this trial. So it was fascinating. And then we left, and it was the oddest thing. So I have to go back on Monday morning.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm very excited about doing my civic duty. I was raised to be a good American and participate. And so I am kind of excited about it.
Isn't that sounds like a weird process. Is it different how they're doing the selection? Then I guess I just have this idea in my head of you, maybe what you were talking about, you go into the normal pool, they call you up and they just start eliminating people and they settle on their, their 12 jurors 12 or whatever.
People. That is exactly when my husband did jury duty last year. That's how they did it. Same building, same, I don't know if it's same court. I don't know if it's criminal court one, but he did that type of process, I guess, where you go in the morning and then you kind of sit around all day and mine was very, very different, and I'm loving it so far. I got to come back to the office. I'm here today. My problem is I had scheduled Thursday and Friday to be in jury duty, and now I'm going to be in jury duty Monday, possibly later if I actually get selected.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Well, I can't wait for part two of this story and find out more about what in the world's going on.
I know. I'm fascinated. Cool. Because the questions that they ask in their emails are really, really interesting. And I understand if you read it and you don't know me, I sound like a giant walking contradiction. But really, I'm a riddle wrapped in an enigma. But if you just read me on paper, I'm pretty sure that it doesn't sound good. So we'll see if they pick me.
Interesting. So does it sound like they're going to narrow from 24 to 12? You're just part of a smaller pool, maybe?
I think I'm part of a smaller pool, and I don't think we're at 24 anymore. I think we're about 20.
Okay.
Because I think four people are going to be released because they had.
Are they doing, is this like plans. An experimental thing where they're trying, like, rather than having the big pool, they're going electronic and trying to do more pre-screening? I wonder if that's part of it.
I think that's part of it. I think the other thing they're trying to do is so many of these things plead out before you ever get actually to a jury, or they start selecting a jury and then they decide to plead out or whatever, that they're tired of wasting people's time because people apparently hate jury duty.
Yeah.
And want to not be there. And so they're trying to make it less onerous, I think, on the jury by having the attorneys meet in the morning, figure out which cases are actually going to trial, and then bring in the potential jurors.
Hmm. Pretty interesting. Well,
either way, it was fascinating because, like I said, my husband did it last year and he had a very different experience than I've had so far. And I see, the thing is, I don't know anything. I know nothing about the case. I don't even know if I'm fully going to be picked. I may go in Monday morning and they may release me, or I might be there until, you know, whenever.
Well, you're part of a different sounding process. So I look forward to part two of the story next podcast. Okay, we'll tune back
we'll
in.
We'll finish up the case. Yeah,
finish the case. Maybe, we'll maybe not. We'll find out. It could be a long process.
I may still be sequestered.
There you go. Ooh, that would be exciting. Although it'd make the podcast very boring, because then you would be like, we can't talk to Bree. Well, she's
sequestered. You can talk to Dad, and he's almost as interesting as I am.
There you go. We'll see if we can get on any, like, undercover reports from him on what's going on the inside. Be very exciting. Well, speaking of exciting, we've got a good exciting show on the way for you today. We've got a good question a little later on from Isabel. Isabel's got some questions on today's show about needing a financial advisor if you have a pension. Isn't retirement planning already kind of done for you if that's the case? So we're going to answer her question related to that topic. We've got a really fun getting to know you question today for Bree that I think is going to make her chuckle a little bit. All that and more on the way. But we're going to start today by talking about the four biggest realities facing you when it comes to retirement planning. Bree just had to face the reality of being picked potentially for jury duty, it sounds like. And so now she's facing those realities. But we're all going to face these realities when it comes to our retirement years. And the realities, Bree, are that it's different, not only from a generation ago, but it's even different than maybe in some ways from just a decade ago, from 10 years ago. What you know about retirement planning may have changed over time. So we'll give the four big realities that are facing us in retirement planning, why we need to come to grips with these things. And I'm curious to hear from you how you help folks plan around these items. The first one we need to decide is both a good and a bad thing. People are living longer, Bree.
Oh, yes, we definitely are. Back in the 30s, the average life expectancy was 60 for a man and 64 for a woman. Today, if you live to 65, you can expect to live maybe another 20 years, and 25% of us will live to 90. That's a lot longer. You know, when they first envisioned Social Security, they didn't envision anyone actually taking Social Security. It was technically set up to where you probably would never actually get Social Security, just because of the way it's set up with life expectancy. And so we're living longer, and people are living in Social Security age for 20, 30 years. I mean, Grandpa Tim's dad, my grandfather, Austin, some of you may have met him, because he'd often come to client events before he passed away. Grandpa was in his 90s when he passed away. And we're seeing that more and more nowadays. So we're having to plan for living in retirement almost as long as you lived in accumulation or in work mode. So it's definitely changing retirement. It's not your grandfather's retirement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's people are living a lot longer during their retirement years. That causes obviously some problems, as you outlined, and it's a big topic of conversation. And I don't think we see that changing in the other direction, really, in any way, right? I mean, we're just going to keep having medical advancements and people are going to keep pushing the boundaries of living longer and longer, I would think.
I would think so. I mean, but I don't know if a long life is necessarily a quality life.
Yeah.
I don't know if quantity necessarily equals quality, but, you know, that's for your own choice and own thought process.
Well, that goes right into reality number two, and that's that retirement is a more active stage of life. So I think there are, in some ways, maybe the first part of retirement has become more active because we're living longer, and our active years are also extended. Now, yeah, maybe at the tail end, is there a big difference between 100 and 110 and what we're able to do at that point? Well, maybe not then, but between 60 to 70, that looks a lot different for a lot of folks now. Even 70 to 80 and almost 90 looks different for people now.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, mom just had her hip surgery and they literally had her up and walking the same day. Now, using a walker, she's still not able to drive herself, but just the advancement that has come with a hip surgery is nuts. It's crazy. And nobody really thinks of retirement anymore as like sitting down watching, I don't know, shuffleboard or whatever.
Sweet tea in the rocking chair on the front porch.
Sweet tea in the rocking chair on the front porch. Yeah, that's fun for, I don't know, a day, maybe
right.
two.
That's my image of retirement, right? Is sweet tea on the front porch. That's the classic retiree image.
Well, and see, to us, it's so different because when Dad and I talk about having an abundant life and an abundant retirement, we're talking about those four pillars: the being the person you want to be, doing the things you want to do, being with the people you want to be with, and making the impact you want to make. And that doesn't usually involve a conversation about a rocking chair. It's usually conversations of, I want to travel. I want to see my grandkids. I want to volunteer. I want to help my church. I want to do this. I want to do that. Heck, most retirees I know have a busier schedule in retirement than they did when they were working. Why? Because they finally have the time to do all the stuff they want to do.
All these things, Bree, that we've talked about so far, very much a lifestyle kind of conversation, you know, living longer, being more active during those years. And this kind of fits into there as well. Number three, reality that we face when it comes to retirement planning is that fewer people these days, and this is maybe the one that really we're talking about, hey, this is different than even just a decade ago, but fewer people are quitting work cold turkey. A lot less folks just saying, okay, I've hit that retirement date. See you, everybody. I'm done.
Yeah, most definitely. Case in point, my in-laws. My father-in-law retired from his official long career as an electrical engineer with, I think, the utility company. And I say I think because Joaquin, my husband, was never really 100% sure what his dad did. So if he didn't know, the explanation of what I got was like, something. He's an electrical engineer and he does something. But he left that company. And he played some golf. He's a fabulous, wonderful golfer. And he is a wonderful babysitter to his two grandsons and backup babysitter. But he realized he wanted to do more. And so he ended up working with his brother's company. So my father-in-law and his brother work together at work. And my father-in-law can actually work from home. He's got a lot of flexibility. He knows his boss really well, obviously, being his brother. So it's not a problem if he says, hey, I need to run and go get Nate from school, he's sick. That helps. And he's also volunteering with AARP doing taxes right now at the libraries, helping people with taxes.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, no, it's really, really awesome. So it's definitely not like the let me quit cold turkey. He tried that for a little while and he found there was only so much golf he could play and he needed something else. So like I said, it's working out wonderfully. He and his brother are getting along great, and his brother's business is taking off, and Jesse has a lot of flexibility. He can work from home. He's worked from my house. It's great for him.
Yeah. You used to have to do your 40 to 50 hours a week, you know, your whole life, and then if you weren't going to put in that commitment, you know, basically you were kind of discarded, and, you know, there was just no middle ground. But now, I think a lot of people like their job. They like what they do. They just maybe wouldn't want to do it every single day for, you know, that 40, 50, 60 hours a week. But if I could do that job and do it for 15 or 20 hours a week and then, you know, have some freed up time the rest of my life, that'd be great. And so that's becoming a reality for a lot of folks now.
A lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are either going back to work, maybe not for their company, but consulting. I know a lot of government employees, after they've retired for the government, come back as a consultant for the government. So I'm seeing that more and more. My mother-in-law, she's no longer a sitting judge, but she's looking at what she can do now. It's kind of, that is what it is. It's not, you know, the 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week in the office every day. It's more of a flexible, I want to work when I want to work. I want to take care of my grandkids when I want to take care of my grandkids. I like to travel. I want that flexibility, but I still want to be a productive member of society. And I found that if people do that, they tend to live longer. It's something about keeping the brain active and keeping the body active helps with that longevity thing we talked about earlier.
Yeah, it sure does. And it's another great point, Bree. So again, a lot of lifestyle conversations in these realities, but it's important because that dictates how much money we're spending a lot of the time in retirement. You know, if we're living a lot longer, that means we've got to fund a longer life, means we may have more health concerns that we've also got to fund. If we're more active, it also means that we're probably spending more money. Every day is a Saturday, and now we're making a lot more Saturdays during our retirement years. And if we're not quitting work cold turkey, well, that's a different direction. Maybe that gives us more financial power. We don't have to go from salary to zero. We can go from salary to maybe half that and supplement some of our retirement savings. The bleed can happen less slowly those first few years of retirement. That can give you tons of flexibility that makes all the difference in your overall financial plan. Obviously, it's going to be different for different people, but those are important realizations and realities to face. And you'll notice not all these realities certainly are bad things. We're talking about being active. We're talking about living longer. We're talking about flexibility when you end your working life. So these are all positives. But there is one reality we need to face here, Bree, that isn't a lifestyle conversation. It does have to do with the finances and the money. And that's the current investing environment that we're in. And especially for retirees these days, am I wrong in saying it's more challenging than it used to be? I mean, every generation's like, oh, it was so much, you know, it's so much harder these days than it was back then. But is this reality today that it's harder to invest right now?
The good old days. Right. Yeah. No, we can. I think there's a Bruce Springsteen. Oh, the glory days.
Glory days. Yeah,
I would say, yeah, the market's more volatile. It is more challenging than it used to be. Interest rates are really low. Laddered CDs aren't necessarily going to keep up with inflation, or they might keep up with inflation, but you're not getting the growth on them that you used to be able to get. There's so many more investments out there. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. This 24-hour news cycle has caused so much. It's great and terrible at the same time. It allows so much information to be out, but not all of it's accurate or good information to be out. And it's almost more overwhelming than I think it used to be. And there was such an emphasis for so long on accumulation and how to save and what to do. And there's almost no emphasis, or it's just now becoming an emphasis on, you know, I've saved and I've saved this nest egg and I've worked really, really hard, but how do I turn this into a income stream for the rest of my life? And how much do I have to sacrifice to do that? And so that's more the conversation nowadays. Because, you know, years ago, when I started my career, the advice that I got at my first firm was, oh, you ladder some CDs, you know, look at different income streams. It's super easy, not a problem. Retirees are the easiest. And now I would come around and say, no, being a retirees are some of our tougher challenges when it comes to clients because they're not in the accumulation phase. Their risk tolerance is much longer. Their time horizon is much shorter. So we've got to work on it.
All these things need work, I think, Bree. All these things need customization. You know, how the market impacts somebody is going to be different than the other person because of how they're invested, how their portfolio is structured, all of those things. So just like the lifestyle questions, the money questions too are going to be dependent upon, you know, how we're structured and how we're planned for our financial futures. How do you help people come to grips with these realities? I'm sure we're not touching on every reality, obviously, of retirement planning, but four of the big ones on today's show. But how do you and your process at Estes Financial Services help people walk through these things so they can get that solid plan in place?
Well, we customize and it's very holistic, which I know those are two of the biggest buzzwords in the financial services industry. But what it means for us, at least, is we sit down and we have real conversations with you. And we talk about the psychological aspect of retirement. And some people hate that conversation, but it's the most important thing you can have, in my opinion. We need to know that you are psychologically ready for retirement. Because those that aren't, go stir crazy. Or maybe don't have the longevity. It's scary. Retirement is scary. And we recognize that. And we embrace it. Which a lot of people don't. Embracing fear is a different concept, I realize. But once you embrace that, yes, this is a scary process, and yes, there are some unknowns, it gets you to the other side of it. You can face your fear, and we can get into to the meat of the retirement, and you can start having fun. I mean, I call it, it's almost a second act. You get to decide what you do, who you spend time with, and how your day is structured.
It's flexibility, it's power, it's freedom. If you'd like those things in your retirement plan and you haven't met before with the team at Estes Financial Services, I invite you to do that. Make sure that you're on the right track to not only get to retirement, but so that you can have an abundant retirement. Make it all the way through those retirement years with that flexibility and freedom that maybe you've had in mind. It takes a good retirement plan, though, to give you the confidence to move forward. And Bree and Tim can help you discover that. They've got a great team at Estes Financial Services. They are certified financial planners as well. If you want to get in touch, the way to do so is 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. Tim and Bree have also put together for you a great retirement rescue toolkit that's going to walk you through some of the starting concepts, the basic concepts of financial and retirement planning. Very helpful guide if you're just beginning that journey and that planning process. It's a physical box packed with all sorts of goodies, including an audio CD, some reports and books, things like that, that they're going to send to you for free. All you have to do is order it, right?
Our favorite word around here, free. Yes. If you order it from us, we will happily mail it out to you. And it's got some great, well, the Ticking Tax Time Bomb book is one of my favorites because it talks about some things that you can look at before you get into retirement. And there's some strategies if you're already retired in there as well. The audio CD information, we're big on education around here. It's important for you to understand what plan we're putting into place and why we'd put it into place and why your retirement may be at risk. And so that's all in there. It's super, super interesting. And I really like the book.
Again, that number to get the toolkit or just to ask your planning questions, 817-444-8402. And you can also click in the link in the description of today's show, and we'll take you to where you can get that toolkit and ask questions on the website as well. That'll take you to estesfinancial.net. Again, that's estesfinancial.net. Great place to go to get that kind of information.
It's getting to know you time.
Time to get to know Bree Reyes a little bit better on today's show. And my question for you this time, Bree, this is going to make you chuckle, I will hope. What clothes or styles did you wear in the past that make you laugh now when you look back on it?
Ooh, yeah, there are some, you know, and unfortunately, this is one of the pros and the cons of working with family. Dad has all the good blackmail pictures, doesn't he?
Oh,
okay.
We need to feature some of these in the, put a link somewhere on the website.
We may have to.
To whatever you talk about.
No, not if dad loves me. I would say the biggest, it's not clothes necessarily, but it's hairstyles that I have had in the past that I regret. Specifically I dug my red phase in college in the first couple of years out of my career, but I am happy that that's kind of behind me now. I had a long-term boyfriend who hated redheads, and so when we finally broke up, I went red, very red.
So you're not natural red, but you went
No,
red.
I'm not. Oh, okay. And I pull off the color really well. It just requires a lot of maintenance. And sometimes it came out because I was a blonde at birth, and it's kind of dirty blonde now and more brownish now.
I'm having trouble picturing you as a redhead.
Oh, there are photos. There's photos on our website. Some of the articles that I've written when I wrote for the Fort Worth Business Press a lot, my headshot was red hair. And yeah, no, sometimes it was more brassy and sometimes it was very Ronald McDonald orange. I went through a lot of different colors before I was like, yeah, this is a terrible idea. So hair color can be bad. And then also bangs. I love bangs. They look great on me, but I am more function over fashion when it comes to my lifestyle. It's always been that way. I think it's because we lived on Eagle Mountain Lake. And so a lot of times we were in swimsuits growing up, and then now as a mom, function over fashion sometimes has to be my life. A lot of wash and wear around here. And I love the way bangs look on me, but I hate the maintenance of them. And I am terrified to trim my own hair. I should throw that out there. Terrified. So I either would get them cut way too short, and then they would eventually grow into the length I like. But during that first little bit, they looked terrible. Or they would be too long. But really, it's when my bangs are too short. So now I had to give up bangs because I just know myself, and I know bang maintenance is something that I just can't do.
All I can add to the conversation, if we're going to talk hairstyles, is just that I basically let my hair get way too long and then go cut it. And so it just looks really bad for the couple of weeks where I'm trying to find enough time to go get it cut. That and maybe the bowl cuts I had as a kid are pretty funny to look back on. While sporting my overalls. Not that I'm saying you can't wear overalls, but I wore a lot of overalls as a kid, so it's kind of funny to look back at that now.
See, and I can't even blame these hairstyle choices on my parents because I was over 18.
Oh, yeah. There was a little rebelling going on.
This is all me.
Too funny. Well, there you go. Red hair. We learned something new about you today. Didn't know that.
Yeah. No, there's lots of red-haired photos around. In fact, we had a new client in this week that pointed them out and was like, I like your hair red. And I was like, I do too, but that's a good red. There were a bunch of reds that weren't very good.
There you go. Well, we'll have to dig up some of those Ronald McDonald ones for laughing purposes later on.
Bad.
Good stuff.
Dad, please don't.
All right, time to get ready to wrap up today's show with the mailbag.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
This is where we answer questions from folks like you. If you want to submit a question to be featured on a future show, you can do that online at estesfinancial.net. And this week's question comes to us from Isabel. And Isabel has this to say, do I need a financial advisor if I have a pension? Doesn't that kind of take care of retirement on its own? I've worked for the same company for about 30 years, and the pension seems sizable and like it'll be more than I need, especially with Social Security thrown in on top.
Well, Isabel, great question, and congratulations on having a pension, because not many people do anymore.
Yeah, just having one, let alone what the number is. Just having one's great.
Yeah, just having the pension is wonderful. Does a pension take care of retirement on its own? Well, maybe. I don't know. We need to talk a little more specifics. I don't know what your retirement, what you're envisioning for retirement or your retirement expenses are going to be. I don't know how much you're going to get in a pension. So these are all questions that I would think about if I were you. And then does your pension have a cost of living adjustment, a COLA? Is it keeping up with inflation? Because that's where retirement can eat into pensions dramatically. Because most people who have pensions may or may not have other retirement funds set aside. And without having anything set aside and maybe not having a cost of living adjustment on your pension, then you can get into a financial pickle and need a certified financial planner to help you out with planning for retirement. But it depends on you. And it's also interesting that you have Social Security on top of your pension. Some employees, federal government employees and municipal and state employees, don't have the opportunity to have Social Security, and teachers if they participated in their pension. So not everybody with a pension also gets Social Security. And that's something that you've got to check your individual circumstances, your employer, and confirm that. Because I've seen people think that they get both and then they didn't. But without a cost of living adjustment, yes, you're going to need some help with retirement. And even with a cost of living adjustment, if your expenses exceed your pension, you're going to need help with retirement planning. So I would say probably.
Yeah.
But it depends.
You may just, you know, it may take less, you know, planning and effort and time. It may take, you know, less maneuvering and changes to make sure you've got a good financial plan in place if the pension is indeed pretty sizable and it's, you know, a lot more than your spending habits. But it doesn't just mean that, you know, all those other nuances get taken care of automatically. There's still a lot to plan for outside of that. And sometimes it's a matter, right, Bree, of you want to be efficient and be a good steward of those, you know, monies and of those dollars. And I think that's it's a bit deeper and maybe different conversation for another day. But at the same time, it's not just about meeting the expenses for some people. Some want to do more with those dollars, and that can take some advanced planning as well.
It can, and especially if you have legacy concerns, if you want to leave something to your children and grandchildren, you might not need help with, you know, how much can I spend on a day-to-day or how do I turn this into an income stream? You might not need help there, but you might need help making sure that it matches all your goals.
Yep, good point. And so if you want help with that, if you're in a similar situation, perhaps to Isabel, you're wondering about what are the right financial moves for you to make? Would you benefit by meeting with a financial advisor? We'll have an initial meeting, initial conversation with the team at Estes Financial and find out. They can tell you some of the potholes that might exist in your financial plan, some of the areas that do need some gussying up and some addressing. And they can also point out to you where you're doing well. You know, maybe it is with the pension. Hey, you're doing great here. It's in fact maybe even better than you thought. Or maybe there's a different way to approach the whole thing. Sometimes that gets uncovered in those introductory meetings as well. If you'd like to have a meeting or you want to pick up that retirement rescue toolkit that we talked about earlier in the podcast as well, you can do that by calling 817-444-8402 to reach the Estes Financial Services team, 817-444-8402. And we'll also put a link in the description of today's show to the website, estesfinancial.net, where you can get the toolkit and get in touch with the team that way as well. Bree, thanks so much for all the help on today's program. Lots of fun as we usually have, and looking forward to, you know, jury duty story part number two, maybe on the next podcast. And good luck with that jury duty and all that good stuff over the next few weeks.
Thanks. I'm so excited about doing my civic duty. But everybody out there, go out and lead an abundant life.